You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Hope you had a great week and that you caught the premiere of Real Housewives of New Jersey. Okay, first of all, right out of the gate, there's so much to cover. Teresa is now dating a guy named Louie. Louie looks like he was born and bred to live in New Jersey the rest of his life. A video surfaces on social media and they discuss it in the opening episode, and thank God they did. I mean, it's like a field of red flags with this guy. In the video, he's standing behind what looks like members of an Irish folk singing band, and he's begging forgiveness for a previous girlfriend, begging her to kind of give him a second chance. It almost looks like he's like in an elder boy band and it's the opening to a music video. For me personally, that would be the moment where I'm like, and we're done. But of course it's Teresa and she looks past any red flags, any bad signs, and is not only dating this guy and with him all the time, they just purchased a house together. And as I understand it on Watch What Happens Live, have no plans to have a prenuptial agreement. So Margaret brings this to her attention and it's not going to go well. And also, Joe Gorga and Melissa Gorga clearly have some issues with him. Their daughters, Teresa's daughters with Joe Giudice, have not spoken to their uncle in 6 months because they feel like he says, Joe, their uncle says such shitty things about their dad. Okay, well, your dad did commit a crime and he also broke up a very tight relationship with his own father. So you kind of have to understand why. But of course, they're kids, so they don't understand. So there's familial relation problems, which are fascinating to watch. On top of that, you've got Tiki Barber and his wife who have joined the show. He's like a football legend, but their relationship timeline is caught into question because I remember Page Six saying that Tiki left his wife when she was pregnant with twins, when the wife was like 8 months pregnant. And Tiki's wife says, well, you know, she was actually 8 weeks pregnant. 8 weeks, 8 months, whatever, you left your pregnant wife. That's a little odd. Jennifer has a new nose and chin implant. And much like Darcy and Stacey, she went to Turkey to get this done. Also another red flag. She says that she had to do it because she got a tummy tuck and Bill, her husband, was like, you're the worst patient I've ever had and you're a nightmare. And I need you to go to another country, another continent, and have another doctor take care of you because you're a nightmare. So it comes out later in the episode when Margaret is pushed up against a wall, emotionally, basically, where she's like, Jennifer, you're a hypocrite. You've come after me so much about what I've said about my previous marriage, how I met my husband, Joe, who I am. And she's like, we all know that your husband had an affair. And there begins this season. Holy shitballs. What a way to start off. Can't even believe it. There's something I like about New Jersey is you feel like all of these women, despite underlying issues that they might have, that they actually hang out when the season is not filming. And that's why it's worth for you to watch. So check that out. The season premiere. It's a doozy of an episode. In this episode, I interviewed executive producer Danny Passman. He has created the show called Adults Adopting Adults. It's on A&E. You guys, it's crazy. It's grown adults pursuing the unusual route to the American family because they want an adult to adopt them. So six different pairs with individual motivations embarking on a journey to add an adult family member to their households. For example, this one couple, Derek and Carol, they are making plans to adopt a 23-year-old named Bianca. And Carol, the mother, met her while working at the local community college. Here's the problem. Carol had a previous experience with the process. During her first marriage, she tried to adopt a student, only to have her husband enter into an affair with that young woman. This reminds me of that Heavyweight podcast on Spotify. They have an episode called Barbara Schutz. Please listen to it, then watch Adults Adopting Adults, and you'll understand what I mean. Bianca, by the way, has an alter ego named Gina. There's so much to unpack. It is a wild show. I need you to watch it, especially because there's this crazy Prince Frederick, and I'm telling you, characters. Watch that. This episode also, I've got my friend, wedding event planner, Stephen McGee. He does the most over-the-top weddings. He was going to do J-Lo's wedding that she canceled twice. He just did the Gates wedding. He does over-the-top weddings. I forced him to watch Paris in Love because I had to ask him about how much everything cost, the total cost, but all the little details of the wedding. The other thing is when you watch it, it's not even just about a wedding show. It's about unpacking the relationship that Paris has with her sister, who basically treats her like an older sister. Her mother, they have issues that stem back way into her childhood. And then the relationship she has with her fiance and now husband, Carter, who does and says things that are very worrisome. So when you watch the episodes, I think you'll know what I mean. And so we get into it with this episode. So here we go. Adults Adopting Adults on A&E is my new obsession. And I can't even tell you how excited I am because I have tracked down the executive producer, Danny Passman. He is here to talk to me about this unbelievable show. I guarantee you guys, you're going to start watching. You're going to be texting all your friends. You're going to be on Twitter all night long. This is a hugely fascinating and entertaining show. Danny, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. You know, it's funny. I've worked on a bunch of series that have, you know, when that premieres, you look at Twitter, you know, you're at night, you're like watching Twitter and you're hoping that people tweet about it. This is the first show that I have, like in night one, people are like making memes. You know, people,
I believe it.
And I was just like, it was so exciting to hear. I mean, most of it was negative, but, you know, good press is press. So.
Well, I just think people are like, where do these people come from? So it's the unique stories of grown adults who are pursuing the unusual route to the American family, which is adult adoption. So six different pairs with individual motivations embarking on a journey to add an adult family member to their households. I got to tell you, part of me gets this. Because when I meet somebody who's really nice parents and they're like, oh, my parents are going to come visit me and they're going to take the kids out and then we're going to go on a trip, I always say, would they be open to adopting me? So I get it. How in the world did you come up with the concept of this show and find all of these people?
Well, it was actually brought to me by another producer who sort of just pitched the idea to us. And then we developed it out and, you know, finding these people, there is no forum. It's not like you can't go on adoption.com and find a bunch of people who want to get adults adopted. So it took us like a year and a half of casting.
Wow.
And we went down like every single rabbit hole you can imagine, like cold calling family lawyers, Reddit, going down rabbit holes on Reddit. And then ultimately also like trying to understand, you know, a lot of the people we found at the beginning were people that were doing this because they were step parents that wanted to make something official, or were a lot of sort of like soft, earnest stories. Mm-hmm. And it's A&E. And so we have to find stories where you're questioning people's motives and stuff like that. So it was not, this was one of the hardest castings I've ever worked on, but it was like, it's fascinating. You know, it's like each, you know, and for example, like we have a guy, you know, one of our stories is Prince Frederick von Anhalt, who was Zsa Zsa Gabor's surviving husband. And we read an article that he was adult adopted originally to get his nobility to come to America to meet Zsa Zsa. But he and Zsa Zsa adult adopted five sons, I think in like the 80s and 90s.
This is unbelievable. This, and by the way, I've seen this guy around. He definitely seems left of center, a wacky character indeed.
Yeah, and I feel like he and Jaja never had children, so they adopted these sons. But back in that time, the sons paid him to be adult adopted.
Okay.
And so in reality, he wanted to find a son to take over the Von Anhalt Gabor legacy and sort of deal with the business dealings of that. But so we reached out to him like, hey, you're the OG of adult adoption. Could we just pick your brain how this works?
Yeah.
And he was like, I want to be on the show. I'm actually on my quest. And we're like, what? So I remember like calling A&E and being like, this German prince wants to be on the show. And so it was like funny, like we literally just reached out to him for advice. And then he became like, you know, I think he'll be a breakout star once his episode comes up. I think he's on for like 5 or 6 episodes, but he's wild.
So I saw a clip of him and there's a gentleman that's wearing what seems like a Christmas costume, like a Santa costume with medals that you got at like Party City. Is this like, where did this uniform come from?
That's his military uniform that I guess he wore. I guess it's I guess a German prince has a uniform, like a military uniform. So it's his, he truly wants whoever he adult adopts to be able to fit into that suit and parade and wear it to parties and stuff that French Frederick would have worn back in the 80s or 90s.
Wow.
So, you know, as he's going about adoption dating, he actually has different people try on the suit. And from a production standpoint, it was like, you know, like I was freaking out. I'm like, this is everything. Like, I'm
no, I
like,
mean, everything. Now he's he was the 9th husband of Zsa Gabor, who she was a character.
Everything. He just gave me a bottle of wine with a picture of him and Zsa on it. And I guess, and then our PA, he gave them a pillow of Zsa. It's like, so it's like, I just love it. I love hearing his stories. He's such a great storyteller.
Yeah.
You know, talks about Zsa getting arrested. And there was an old story where Prince Frederick was found naked, tied to a car in Beverly Hills. So it's like, I can't get enough of these stories.
And the kind of person where he tells you something, you're like, there's no way. Like that was a complete imagination, dream. Something happened during a hallucination after a night of taking pills, but it always seems to be true.
It seems to be true. And I truly believe that he wants to adult adopt someone. Yeah. Like I truly believe in, and you'll see in the story that he really goes down this path. And I think it's just interesting. It's interesting to see why he wants to be adult, why he wants to adopt someone. We really get into the why on all of these stories and sort of peel back. And I think what I think is super interesting about this show, very similar to like 90 Day Fiancé, you know, which is that is like, is it love or a green card?
Right.
And I feel like this is sort of like, is it love, like family love, mm-hmm. or is it money, or is it this, you know, like every state, when it comes to adult adoption, it's only legal in 38 states. And each state has its own laws about how adult adoption works. So in some states, you can be adult adopted, but you're not in the will. So that's another conversation. So there's a whole legal component because it's A&E, which is very legal heavy.
Yeah.
In certain states like New York, you do a home visit, like very much like you would do adopting a child. Like they come to your house and you have to be interviewed with an adult, with your adult parents. And sometimes the parents are younger than the adult. Like you don't have to, like anyone can adopt anybody over the age of 18. So the scenarios are super interesting. Like in the state of, there's a story with Danny and Ileana that was in the first episode and Christy, mm-hmm. Danny's wife. But in the state of Ohio, you can't adult adopt someone unless you're their legal guardian. So as Danny figures out and navigates the legal system, realizes that in addition to the fact that she's not American and you can't use adult adoption as a pathway to citizenship, he learns that on the show, you sort of learn all the intricacies of adult adoption law, which is so interesting.
So when she shows up, Ileana is 20 and she's Austrian, pregnant with her first child. And Danny's wife, Christy, is not so sure of how this is all going to go. and why it's so important to Danny. And she says that the family members and friends have some concerns also, as one would expect. And then in Las Vegas, we've got 39-year-old mother of two, Kim, who wants to be adopted by Vicky and Joe so her children can have loving grandparents. Her husband seems to have some concerns as well. That is just the freaking first episode, you guys. Tell me a little bit about the other ones, like Felicia and Tawny, that we will meet.
Felicia and Tawny are half-sisters that live in Ojai. Actually, Felicia has like the best restaurant that makes the best egg sandwiches. That's besides the point. But they were, there's this woman, Jenny, who has stood them up at the courthouse twice. And, you know, both times the sisters were hoping to get adults adopted. And for reasons you'll find out on the show, Jenny has never showed up. Oh. And so they're hoping that third time's the charm. And so their story is interesting in that a lot of the stories that we're working on, people haven't known each other for that long. Mm-hmm. And so there maybe a few years. This is a story where they've known each other for years. So the emotional stakes are even much higher. And you'll see at the end if Jenny shows up at the courthouse. And it's a pretty wild story. The crazy thing is also Felicia's husband is a family lawyer. So he was also able to really dial into a lot of the conversations that were uncomfortable for them all to have about money and wills and estates. And, you know, the story is fascinating. It's a cool story. And then we have another story in Nashville with this woman, Nevo. And she's hoping to get adopted by this woman, Nanny. And she's Nanny's nail tech. Okay. She met by doing nails. Neva also has 8 cats, and her fiance Lauren is a stay-at-home cat mom. So it is that story to me is fascinating in that there's so one thing I should point out, there's a lot of naysayers. And so in the Neva story, there's a naysayer, Nanny's stepson, who is actively involved in trying to really understand Nevo's motivations and really is trying to guardrail and make sure that the parents don't get taken advantage of. And that story is so wild. And it is, I'm like upset. Like I just find Nevo endlessly fascinating. I've always, you know, she's a self-proclaimed Southern Asian redneck. And so to me, I just find that fascinating. And so she's also a really good nail tech, but she has a lot of naysayers in her life that are questioning like her motivation. You find out that in the promo of the show, you find out that Nevo was in prison and that there's some things that you're questioning what's happening here.
So let me ask you this. Someone in your personal life starts talking to you about how they're showing interest in an adult adoption. After this experience, does one of your eyebrows raise or are you open to the idea now?
I'm totally open to the idea. I mean, I feel like during the pandemic and especially in even during the last administration, that there was so much divisiveness and people sort of having to sort of say goodbye to family members based on political leanings or a lot of lonely people in the pandemic who maybe their family wasn't there for them. And they really kind of for the first time realized that they don't have the family system that they're looking for. Yeah. So I just support anybody finding the right people to be their family, you know, like, yeah. I don't know. So I'm lucky. I have the best mom in the world. Like she's hilarious. But if I didn't, and I don't know, maybe I would, you know, like, I know I think you and I both have interesting dads in common.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, in theory, it'd be great if I just found a boyfriend, but you know, that's besides the point, but who knows? I definitely wouldn't tell anyone not to do it. And I feel like on this show, you're going to see adoptions, you know, like some of these adoptions go through and there's some real happy endings at the end. And so, you know, while there's a lot of fits and starts and madness, there's something really beautiful about it.
So this show airs on A&E. What day can they watch it?
It airs on Mondays at 10 p.m. on A&E. We have 10 episodes. We've aired episode one so far. And it's wild. I mean, honestly, it's so wild. And I just hope that people connect to it.
This show kind of is everything that anybody wants when it comes to like 90 Day Fiancé, has a little bit of that. It has a little bit of like long lost family to it. Love After Lockup, a little bit of a lot of different shows in it. And the Prince alone is worth watching.
It's an interesting show in that a lot of these other sort of pod based shows always sort of end with a wedding.
Yes.
And this doesn't have the wedding to it, which I think is what makes it more of an A&E show in that like it's not romance.
Yes.
And so it's an interesting show that it sort of really does track the adult adoption process. Once you petition the court, you really have like a 2-month window. And then that 2-month window, all these naysayers come out and all these bizarre conversations start to happen. So like those other shows, there is a ticking clock. So you're kind of watching it and you're just watching this. It's like this freneticism that's so fascinating.
So good. Okay. Well, everybody needs to watch it. Where can they follow you?
Me, I'm PassmanD on Twitter. I think I'm PassmanD on Instagram. I don't know. I'm a 46-year-old man who literally does not know how to use social media, but I think so. I think that's what it is. So that's like PassMan, like, hey, pass that man.
Like pass
and then
that.
D as in Danny.
Well, thank you a million times.
Thank you.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KateCasey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KateCasey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/KateCasey. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
Are you mad at me for subjecting you to the like 10 plus episodes of this show?
No, actually I'm not, because I find Paris Hilton, obviously watched The Simple Life, and I find her to be so fascinating. And I thought her documentary on YouTube was so fascinating.
Yeah.
And so I was not planning on watching, or it wasn't must watch TV. I wasn't tuning in every week, but I even got Peacock just to watch this.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, thank you, Peacock. What did you know of her fiance before you started watching the show?
Absolutely nothing.
I didn't know.
I had never heard of him.
Yeah.
And when, especially after watching the YouTube thing, which was only, I'm sure that YouTube thing was filmed for like years, and it took like almost a year after production ended for it to even come out. So, but she was dating that other guy that was also horrible. So then all of a sudden it just seemed like she was engaged to a new man right after learning about this other guy.
Did you have a good feeling going to this wedding? Because I got to be honest, I had some concerns.
I have some concerns.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Carter, sometimes he gets this look in his eye. Like, if their marriage was ever to end, someone needs to check on her well-being, like, immediately. Because he would be the one to, like, lock her in a room. He doesn't come across very genuine to me. And I think maybe he's just the kind of person that just should not be on camera. Like, they just don't know how to act natural when the camera's on. Because there were some times where I'm like, why is he saying that? Like, he's saying that because the camera's here. Like, he would not normally just be talking out loud to himself like this. Like, it was just a little weird. Maybe he just shouldn't be on camera.
That's a good point. I did have some concerns when she went to Michigan, and she was not pleased with the fact that there were not a lot of shops and didn't really see herself spending time there with her children. She grew up with such extreme privilege. I don't know how she could really relate to anybody unless they were part of like the Saudi family. Because that beautiful Michigan town, she was like not impressed with. And there were a couple moments, to your point, where he's talking to his family and the way he would talk about her and to her in front of them gave me a little bit of cause for concern. Almost like he talks down to her. And I just thought, I hope this is because of the stress of the show and not because this is their dynamic.
It's very weird. And obviously Paris is a very interesting person and like has been through a lot. And like just the way she was brought up, like, and we saw in the YouTube documentary too, that like there was like this weird baby talking and like how she never really grew up. Yeah. And the way they talk to each other and their little, it's just a little juvenile in a way.
Yes.
And I wonder if they'll come to a place like where they grow up, and like every high school relationship, sometimes you just grow out of it. It's nothing that like is bad, but you know, it's that you can't sustain off of baby talk.
He also would say things like, "You're being meansy," which is just a little strange for 40-year-olds to say. I also feel like her family treats her like she's an unmedicated ADD child. Like, she can't focus and they have to help her all the time, and she has to have an assistant with her at all times to make sure that things are being accomplished. And it comes across as a little bit patronizing to some degree.
Yeah, I think it's very much, I think there's so much psychology that probably goes into analyzing all this, because it's like when you watch her with her voice, and in the YouTube too, she discusses how she would turn the voice on. And there were moments where you could watch it change. Like even in the vows, when she's doing her vows at the wedding, when she's reading what she had already written, she had her little voice on. And then when she started speaking, when she's like, I'm going to go off book, and she started talking, she sounded so eloquent and stuff. And when she was, I watched the episode today right before the wedding when she's in Washington, and she speaks so eloquently. So I don't understand why they seem to treat her like she's incapable of functioning.
The whole time I'm watching, I'm just like, the bank, it's like cha-ching, cha-ching. So I want to go through some of this so you can give me an insight into what it takes to plan a wedding of this magnitude and the cost. Okay, so you ready?
Yeah. I did a lot of note taking, and there was a lot of things that I noticed that I'll bring up about the costs and things.
Oh, perfect. Okay. So they switched their wedding plans to the last minute. They were supposed to get married in a church, and then they tied the knot at a Beverly Hills estate that had been in the family for 6 years, which was sold to the CEO of Google for $61.5 million in May of 2021. So they no longer had ownership of the home. What would it take to ask the new owner to allow you to have a wedding of that size with cameras, knowing that there might be damage to the home? Would they have to pay a fee? Would this just be the generosity of their spirit to offer their home?
It probably would depend on this relationship. I mean, obviously, it's a lot easier for somebody like the Hiltons to go ask somebody to use their home. And there's probably a social dynamic between this other CEO and stuff. Who knows? But I'm sure there was a fee to use the home, because, and not only that, but all that tinting and stuff that went up. I recently did this with we were doing a party and at someone's friend's home, and we destroyed their lawn. So after the event, we had to pay to have the whole property re-landscaped. Because when you're putting in a tent like that, you're bringing in potentially even, you know, big machinery to level out and stuff. So they had to completely redo those lawns after it's over. And you can tell that they even redid them for the wedding, because they have the landscaping done directly on the side of the tent. They put in flower beds with the logo, the monogram in it. So all of that has to then be ripped out after. But so I'm sure they probably paid. who knows how much it was because of the social aspect that, you know, you don't want to get on the Hilton's bad side, I guess, but, or this man may not even live at the home that bought it. Who knows? So I'm sure they probably paid a lot though.
So she has Mindy Weiss as a wedding planner. She's of course very well known. And I'm wondering, what is the kind of fee one would pay just to have someone of that expertise, prestige?
I would estimate, so typically when you're doing weddings like this with these high net worth people, it's not even a fee. It's a like 20% of the total of the budget, typically. So if you're doing a $2 million party, the planner's getting $400,000. So, and then over a certain threshold, let's say it passes over 5 million, then maybe that fee drops to 15%, but that's probably the lowest. But for somebody like this and with the exposure on the show, they could have done a flat fee. And we've done that in the past with some celebrity clients. As you know, we were doing the J-Lo and A-Rod wedding prior to the split. And because of the press, we agreed to just a flat fee of, I would imagine that it's somewhere in the ballpark of probably like $300,000 to have her plan and all of this. Because she didn't just do the wedding.
Is that paid up front?
It's paid in installments, basically. Yeah. And then there's a final payment afterwards, plus all of the expenses and things like that. So, but I would imagine it's probably in the ballpark of that too, because she's getting publicity. And press, obviously it's on TV and a huge deal. And that, but that's severely underpaid for the amount of work that Mindy did, you know, it, because there, this was like a 4-day affair. We didn't really even get to see all the events on the show.
So how big of a team would be required to do a wedding of, just for the first night, it was 200 people for a sit down dinner. How many people would be needed just to be at that event alone?
Well, on the planning team, you never know exactly how many. So the planning team was probably pretty small, probably like 10 people that were putting all the pieces into place. But I did a very high-end celebrity wedding this past October, and we had 300 guests. But on the day of the event, between catering, decor, everybody else, we had over 1,000 staff on property to produce that event.
Holy shit. How much did that person's wedding dress cost?
The dress, it had to have been at least $200,000. It was Vera Wang Couture custom. So, I mean, these dresses, I would look at that suite of dresses that Paris got from Oscar, probably a $250,000.
Yeah, there were estimates that her main Oscar de la Renta wedding dress cost $25,000. Wouldn't we say it's much more given the amount
way more
detail that was on that and the amount of fabric?
It's entirely more. I've never worked with Oscar on a custom gown, but let's say for a Vera Wang custom, you have to be spending at least $80,000 to get her to do a meeting like that. Like, so I would say that's $25,000 nothing. I mean, Armani Couture is $250,000.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay. So as we said, the actual wedding, not the shower before. First of all, her wedding shower was basically attended by all of her mom's friends, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills cast. I didn't see that many of her friends. I don't know if she actually cared that much because she showed up to the party like an hour and a half late. In your experience at some of these events, if the bride were to show up an hour, hour and a half late to her own shower, would the guests think she was a horrible person?
I think there's a threshold where people expect people to be a little late or to make an entrance. I do also think maybe that was a little production. There were times even on Summer House that it'd be, or like you're watching shows and it's like 2 hours late. And I'm like, what? Like when we did the, because I went to Brittany and Jax's wedding on Vanderpump Rules. And I remember there was stuff about them being late. And I was like, I don't recall them being late at all.
Oh, wow.
So sometimes that's a little production. And I actually have notes about that from the wedding. But the baby shower, I thought it was very, it was an interesting theme for, called it a baby shower. Yeah. The wedding shower. I was like, it's such a weird theme. It's like a baby shower theme. And it's like in November, it's like a garden party in like November. And I know it's LA, but still.
I mean, the cake alone at that bridal shower costs what?
That cake, it was probably like $3,000 or $4,000. It's not, cakes aren't so crazy, but when you start getting into all those little details, I did notice some of the stuff. I wish that this was a visual, not a podcast, because I would love to just show the screenshots, because like the little cutouts of them were like clearly just like printed from like a inkjet printer. You could see like the print lines. I was like, it's not the best quality, some of the stuff that I noticed.
Interesting. Okay, so we talked about the dress. 200 guests at the sit down. Wolfgang Puck was the chef. Guests dined on appetizers that included a caviar station, tuna tartare, oysters Rockefeller, torch to order. First course was an Asian pear salad and butternut squash tortellini, and the main options were a potato encrusted sea bass, grilled New York steak, and grilled eggplant. My first question is, how much would each person cost just in terms of the food? And the second part is, there's a scene where Kathy takes a friend in the back to talk to Wolfgang and look at the food. I'm presuming that was to give them a plug, because there had to have been some discount given that it was on the show.
I'm sure there was a discount. And also the thing that I'm sure was part of the gift was normally like to have Wolfgang come, there's probably an additional fee anywhere from, I mean, there's some chefs charge up to $150,000 to show up just for them to physically come. That's not with catering or anything. It's like you're paying for like a celebrity appearance, even though they don't really even come out. So I'm sure that was, you know, part of the gift was him coming because they're family friends. But I would say, so in terms of like a luxury wedding, if you're trying to do something nice, we usually say that you have to do, it's pretty much a $4,000 per person minimum, like all in. So even though you're not like that, includes like the decor, the everything else, it probably breaks down to like $4,000 per person. So because everything scales, you don't do the same thing for 100 people that you do for 200 people. But the catering, I would imagine it's probably at least, there was a lot of caviar. There was a lot of caviar. It was probably between like $500 and $700 per person for the food.
Just for the food. Okay, 5-tier wedding cake from Joni and Lee's Cakes topped off the decadent menu. That looked like it belonged in a magazine. How much would a cake of that size cost?
I would say, I don't know that bakery, but I would say it's probably about 10 grand.
And when there's a wedding that's going to be this public, are there companies pitching Mindy Weiss's company, like, I'd love to do the cake, I'll give you a discounted rate? Or with somebody with this much wealth, are they taking freebie deals, or are they just willing to pay it all out of pocket?
I think that they probably paid it out of pocket just because, you know, they get a little bit of breaks with the TV, but for them, they're not looking for freebies, because I would say that the Hiltons are used to paying for things, and because they can. And you don't get, when you're doing a wedding and you're a celebrity, I have to say, do not try to go get your free wedding. This is an important day and you get what you pay for. So, and people know that. You don't want it to be cheap. You don't want to have the minimum, because at the end of the day, anyone who does, some of these businesses sometimes agree to go on these shows and you feel bad because they're losing so much money. They're paying to make, you know, a 30-second appearance and have their little name at the bottom of the screen. And how much business really comes from that? Not too much.
She had Demi Lovato sing. Now, of course, she's a friend of hers, but they also have a string quartet. They have two singers. Typically, someone with that much wealth, what are they paying for someone to sing and to have the string quartet?
I have to say, that was one area where I was like, wow, they really cheaped out on the music.
Really?
Because actually, very affordable. If you're doing a wedding, find a string quartet locally, contact the closest like symphony to you, because they probably have musicians who will come out and pay. And you can get a string quartet for maybe like $1,000 if you like. Obviously, I'm sure theirs was very professional and very nice, but that's a great tip to add some live music to your wedding. It's really not that expensive. They didn't really have that big of a wedding band. Wedding bands are a huge thing, especially in New York. I mean, people pick their wedding date based on band availability sometimes, because if you can't get a good band, it's not good. And you're talking sometimes the band, maybe 24 people, like they're huge. And they did not have that big of a band. And the thing that really killed me was they didn't have the band play all night. They switched to a DJ, which is cheap.
But since she's a DJ, I mean, sure, she's like, why would I have a band when I can just like go up there and do a couple sets?
But I forget his name. It was like DJ Beatbox or something. It wasn't, I mean, she had Diplo play her Neon Carnival. So she couldn't get any, even, you know, C-list DJ would come do that for free for her. But they had just this like probably whoever with a website wedding DJ come. I thought that was really weird. I mean, we would never allow one of our clients to switch to a DJ. It's just, it's not the same.
Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
The tent with the flowers, the candles, the lighting, the ambiance for the actual reception, the actual ceremony. So you walk into the ceremony, how much would that have cost with all the seats and the tenting? And then how much would the reception cost with the tables and the flowers?
Yeah, I have to say it wasn't as much as I thought that they would spend. It wasn't too over the top. It wasn't like an abundance of flowers. The draping was beautiful, but it was really just the sides were just draped. There was nothing else, which I also thought was interesting because if you notice, they had all these built-in little portals for the camera crews so that they were all hidden. You would just see a camera poking out of the drape.
Yeah.
So it was all custom. Tinting is expensive. People do not know how much tinting is. And a tinted wedding will be more expensive than doing it in a ballroom or something. It is expensive. And especially, I'm assuming that they had all of that air conditioned because they talk about how hot it was. So I'm sure they talk about how hot it was that day, but they're never complaining about it. So it must have all been air conditioned, which means they have to level out the ground, build a huge stage, put the air conditioning underneath that so everything's coming up through the floor, then build your tent, build your walls. You're also building, I'm sure they weren't allowed access to the home, so they had to build a separate tent for catering and for staff to work out of. Then you have the ceremony tent and the dinner tent. So the tenting and everything probably cost them around $3 million, I would say.
Oh my God, my head is spinning. This is insane.
Tenting is very expensive. And people think like, oh, we'll just put up a little tent in the backyard and do it here. We'll save so much money. No, you won't. If you live in a place with perfect weather year round, maybe, and like there, you have no chance that there could be bad weather, maybe you'll save money because you won't have to do sides. You won't have to do AC. You might not even have to build like a floor for it. You don't really want your guests on the grass. That's kind of gross, but.
Wow. Do you think at any point Carter's family or Carter throw in a couple pennies into this? Or is the, in your experience, like the bride's parents are footing the entire bill for all of this?
In my experience, the bride's parents are, and I would say that they probably are footing it anyway, and that's why Kathy didn't feel obligated to include him in anything. I personally found it a little weird.
You did.
How much he wanted to be involved in the planning, but to each their own.
Do you think part of that, though, was like, this girl is not going to marry me if I don't put it, like, put something to paper, because we're going to be spinning in circles? Or do you think he thought, I don't want her to have second guesses and just like get this done as soon as possible so we're locked and loaded forever?
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
I feel like I think he's just probably a control freak.
Maybe.
There were parts of the thing that I just felt like were so odd. Like when he would lead her off to go change, like why is he keeping the schedule on changing outfits and stuff? I just always thought that was so weird, because normally, first of all, that would already be planned out. I'm sure that Mindy Weiss's team had a schedule and they're like, okay, after this, we're going to take a change, and we're going to change, you know, after you cut the cake, or we're going to change here. I'm sure he derailed. I'm sure he was a difficult client and just did things.
Yeah, you're right. Because at one point he goes, okay, you have 15 minutes. I'm just trying to imagine my own husband telling me, okay, at our wedding, like, you've got 15 minutes to get dressed, to get refreshed for your next look. I'd be like, what?
Yeah, there are times when, and like normally that would be something, and that's kind of their own time. Like we recently did Jennifer Gates' wedding, the daughter of Bill Gates. Mm-hmm. And she had a dress change and I took her to go change. But we just kind of literally, her dress ripped actually. She ripped the arm, the sleeve of her dress. It was kind of coming open. And we were going to change after her first dance, but because it was ripped, she was worried that it may continue to rip during the first dance.
Yeah.
So we just went and changed. And she, like, there were times, it was kind of like that, because I was on a radio and people are like, we need her back. We need her back. And I'm like, she doesn't want to come back. She just wants to sit and have her makeup touched up and have a moment to herself.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, that would be annoying if your spouse was like, come on, we got a schedule to keep. Like, be like, right. Leave me alone, weirdo. Also, I know that this was troubling to me, and I feel like I'm the only one who may have caught it, but the episode before, the final episode, he meets with his groomsmen at the place to have their try on their tuxes. And his friends ask about the vows, which is, I'm just trying to imagine any other groomsman really giving two shits about, well, has your bride worked out her vows yet? And that could be a production thing. But he says, well, she's a good writer as long as you give her pink paper and crayons, and you can't give her a Word document because she wouldn't have any idea what she was doing. And I just thought, I hope that she doesn't look back and watch that scene, because that is such a nasty thing to say. Not a great moment. I felt it wasn't a great. What did you think about that scene?
Yeah, it was really, really strange. And especially when she, I agree, like, I think she'd feel so bad watching it back, because she keeps talking about how she wants the vows to be perfect. And it's like, he doesn't really have faith in her. And even I would have felt a little insulted when he was like, well, don't worry, I already started making some bullet points for you.
Oh my God, you're
putting
right.
things together for you. I'd have been like, okay, well, I don't need that. Thank you, though. And I'm sure that I'm sure it probably was some production. They're like, well, because this is the thing. And this is why a lot of people don't do wedding reality TV shows, because
stress.
It's a job and stuff. And they always, something has to go wrong. they aren't going to make a show about everything being great leading up to the wedding. Like, so I'm sure they were probably like, we need some kind of conflict here. What do you want it to be? And the writing of the vows was probably like the least offensive thing, not like being like, the dress doesn't fit or something like that. Like, because then you're like, well, Oscar doesn't want the dress to not be fitting. That's not a good look for him.
Right. Like, oh, that's so interesting. Okay, good point.
So I feel like maybe it was a little bit of a production. And also, one of the things that bothered me that I could tell was such production, and they're like, as if we don't know anything, was the whole getting the dress on and all the lateness to the start of the wedding. I didn't really buy it because...
Oh, you mean when her mom and sister are on the yacht waiting for her and she decides not to show up? I'm like, how would that be okay? And they're just like, okay with it. Like, we'll just have some salami and carry on with her day. If my sister didn't show up and I had done all that to get ready for us to sit down and plan, I probably wouldn't speak to her ever again.
Yeah. They made everything about her being late. And even up until the actual ceremony, they're like, you've got to get your dress on and stuff. Meanwhile, we already know that, like, she had the dress on because she's done this gorgeous photo shoot. Correct. That we've all seen the pictures prior, and it was daylight outside. So we know, like, she had that dress on probably at 3 p.m. to do the photo shoot. I found it a little like, that's like the lateness is what you want to make the like big storyline. One hour and 45 minutes late, which first of all, you should know that we do a 30 minute, like if we want the ceremony to, we send an invitation for 6 p.m. We don't intend to start the ceremony till 6:30. Oh, so like, you know, there's already
a buffer. Like, right.
Yeah. Plus they had like a like pre-cocktail hour, which I think is so nice. Like when I first arrived to a wedding, I don't want to have to go and immediately sit down. They had like a little pre-cocktail.
Yeah, that is nice. Well, they said that throughout the night they sipped Moët and Chandon champagne.
Yeah.
Was that surprising to you?
It was a little bit surprising.
I was expecting like the finest champagne from France.
Like Cristal or something.
Something. I just thought, it seems a little pedestrian for the Hilton. Yeah. Right.
Seems like a night at Tao, not really a wedding.
Well, and did she mean to screw with her mom by making jokes all the time about, you know, wanting the wedding to be themed like Burning Man? Or she just screwing with her mom? Or do you think she actually has questionable tastes and that they had to mitigate disasters throughout the whole wedding planning process?
To be honest, I think she did not really care. And when I watched the end, like the very end of the show, when she's having her neon carnival, I was like, oh, so this is what she cared about. Because to be honest, I think they probably spent almost as much money on the neon carnival as they did the actual wedding. Because that's not cheap to rent out Santa Monica Pier.
No.
And have all those things. And I'm like, they probably spent a good amount of money on that. And that's probably what she cared about.
You can't tell me that people are not throwing some freebies at her, because the one thing that's strange about her, or seems strange, is that she gets boxes and boxes of free things every day and is almost excited about it. You would think that with that amount of wealth, you'd be like, I don't need this free stuff. This is kind of beneath me. But she's like picking through the boxes. And the other thing is, she gets most excited about things that have her picture on it. And her sister says at one point, I think for her wedding gift, I'm going to get her a painting probably of herself because that's what she likes. And I just thought, in what world would we all be living that we could talk about someone like that and it would not sound totally vain, vapid, horribly egotistic? Like, you want for your wedding gift a painting of your face?
What was with all the paintings in their house?
Yeah, there was that.
They were all sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, or the one up against the wall. It was like a floor length of Carter and Paris. I just thought, are they going to actually hang that on the wall? Imagine going to their house. You'd be like, okay.
It's like an upscale Sheena Marie.
Yes.
With the portraits.
And do you think they lived together in that house? Because first of all, she was on a scooter at one point and he's telling her, be careful. He talks to her a little bit like a child. But do you think they lived together in that house? Or she lived in that house and they're buying one together?
I think they'll definitely probably move. But I hope that so. that was the house she lived in at in the other documentary. She was already there. So she already owned that house.
Ugh. Okay.
His office was a mess. When they showed that, yeah. I had like severe like OCD disorder. Like,
which is interesting because typically with someone that presents themselves as controlling, you would think that they would be a little bit more organized.
One of my favorite things that I noticed on the morning of the wedding was Kathy laying on her counter to get her hair washed in the sink.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised that they didn't have a salon in the house, like yes. at Kathy's house. Like, you're telling me she doesn't have a little salon room?
Right. All those bedrooms, mammoth property, all that square footage. There's even a gift wrapping room, but you have to lay on your kitchen cabinet to get your hair washed. Yeah, that is a little bit odd. But the family has so many idiosyncrasies that I just find wildly fascinating. That it like you could watch the next iteration of like Nikki Hilton's third baby shower and do 10 episodes and still find so much to unpack with each episode. And then she's almost like Marilyn from the Munsters. She's so uptight. She's always wearing a bow. Her hair is perfect. She's very stoic. And she seems like the older sister. Then you have the other brother, Baron, and his wife, who looks like a Hilton, by the way. She looks like one of their sisters. But then they have the other brother. I'm like, where's that guy? And then he's almost like peeking from behind a tree. You're like, what's going on? Is he not polished enough for the show? Does he not like to be on TV? What's the story? And then the dad, I know he's private, but then he shows up. And then you're never really sure of how he feels about Carter. Like, I feel like there was underlying right. feelings that he had. Like, he had a problem with the wedding planning. He had a problem with a bunch of things with Carter where I thought, when he closes the door at night to Chalet Hilton, is he like, Kathy, this guy is a real problem?
Well, and then he didn't go to the neon carnival party.
He was like,
I'm not doing that. Neon, no.
I mean,
some of the...
I get it.
They're just a very weird family. Some of the things one thing that I noticed was you could just tell during the vows and during the ceremony, Nikki was just like so bothered at like the jokes and the talking.
Yes.
I found the vows to be, that whole thing made me so uncomfortable to watch on TV. Like the little like, not yet, the I want to get, like, it just was so uncomfortable. But then I also just, I would have been so mad if that was my wedding. But Nikki was just, you could just tell she was just visibly just like, I just want this to be over.
Well, she's married to a Brit and they did get married at Kensington Palace. So although we've never heard him speak, one would assume that he's probably a little bit more uptight and that's why they're such a great match. I can't imagine anybody goes to Nikki's house. The one scene that, by the way, that makes me laugh is she FaceTimes her. She's like, I'm just making meatloaf. I'm like, you make meatloaf. Not only that you make it, but that you eat meatloaf. Like, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. The net is, how much do you think that they spent on this wedding?
I think that the day of, like, the actual wedding day, they probably spent, including, like, the dress and everything else, probably between, like, $7 and $9 million.
Oh, my God.
I would assume. I don't know. It could have been less, and you never know what kind of deals they have, but if they paid just the regular prices, that's how much I would assume. They probably had deals. They probably had things there. But it really wasn't as over the top as I was expecting it to be. There weren't that many flowers, I would say. There's a lot of stuff that obviously was production in the timing. There were things like, even like doing the menu tasting, I think it was, per the show, it was like 10 days before or something. That would have had to have been done like months before for all the printing and mm-hmm. stuff, because there's menus that have to be printed. So like, and they take longer than you think. But so I was surprised.
I'm glad you brought that up, because you do get a sense the whole time you're watching that they're sort of flippant about it. Like, oh, we'll get to it. And there's a scene where Kris Jenner, Faye Resnick, and Kathy Hilton are in Kathy's house the day of the bridal shower.
Oh, yes.
And Kathy says, I don't know what everybody's complaining about. Like, it's not that hard to plan a wedding. And Kris Jenner says, I planned my daughter's wedding in 9 days. And I just thought, how unrelatable is this moment? Because they have so much money that they can pay a fleet of people to move mountains to make this happen. I mean,
she's like, Vera Wang had to make the dress in 9 days. I'm like, do you know, like, if you're just an average person walking in, that's why it takes a year, because you have to, they're not rushing for you. Like, literally, the things that take the longest is the wedding dress. That's why most people have to take so long, because your wedding dress takes forever to be made, to be fitted. But like, to even insinuate that, like, I don't know why people just don't get Vera to do it in 9 days.
And like, that was madness. Or, oh, Wolfgang will be fine if we just come up a menu last minute. Like, what?
Yeah. I did also love in that scene with Chris, I was like, I think she's planting a seed for a spinoff show, because she's like, you know, we're going to have to take a girls' trip after this. And I was just like, oh, is she trying to get on?
I would watch that. I would watch a girls' trip with Chris and Kathy any day of the week. Give me 20 episodes. I'll watch every single minute of it. I'll take it.
I would like to watch Chris. Yeah, I would like to watch Chris do her own thing. I don't like watching her with the girls. I feel like I would like to see her with women of her own age.
How long was she at that bridal shower? I was going to say maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah, I feel like, was she even in, I can't remember. I'd have to go back, but I'm like, was she in that group photo? I don't remember seeing her pink suit.
I don't think she was.
She probably had already dipped out.
Yeah, she's like, okay, I got to wrap this up. Goodbye.
She's like, they have cake.
Exactly. Okay, what are you working on now? Or do you have like 16 weddings in the queue?
Yeah, we have a lot of, I feel like everybody is still trying to get their COVID weddings rescheduled. And like, so things are busy this spring and summer all over.
You said that you had one client. It was 6 women. They flew to, what was it, New York from another continent, and had a chef come and prepare a whole meal for them. What was the cost of those 6 women just having dinner in another country?
About $20,000 a person.
Unbelievable. What do you rate Paris in Love 1 to 10 for binge watching?
I think Paris in Love is at least a 9. I
agree. I thought it was so good.
It was entertaining, first of all. It was a little cringy to watch some of the Carter moments, but it was entertaining. And I just think it's so fascinating just watching her, watching how she is now, like, because it's a different look at her life. And I particularly enjoy watching the moments where you can tell, oh, this is real Paris. Like, the way she talks and stuff, you can tell. It's like a cool insight. I also liked the show, the way they did it. I like how they have like all these random confessional scenes. Like when she's sitting on the floor for a confessional, I'm like, it makes it feel very authentic. Like,
and by the way, she's sitting on the floor with, surrounded by like Hello Kitty stuff and
like sequins. In her closet.
Tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram at Stephen McGee. That's now, pretty much all I do nowadays.
Spell it out for them, because
STEPHENMCGEE.
Okay, great. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
The amazing Kate Casey. I want to thank my great guests, Danny Passman and Stephen McGee, and remind you to click subscribe, leave a 5-star review, join the Facebook group Reality Life with Kate Casey. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. You can find me on Instagram at Kate Casey CA. See what I'm watching all week. You can get my must watch list. You've got to join up for this, you guys. You've got to have it, because every Monday I'm going to tell you what to watch each week, what is worth your time. Go to katecasey.substack.com to sign up for that list. But you can also find that on my Instagram at Kate Casey CA. Check out my Cameo, Kate Casey. TikTok, it's Kate Casey. And finally, my Patreon with bonus podcast episodes, bonus episodes. You can check them out if you go to Patreon, patreon.com/Kate Casey. Have a great week. Circle back with you on Tuesday.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.